Chapter 174 to J. H. Kellogg, Avondale, Corranbong, New South Wales, January 19, 1896. To J. H. Kellogg, Sanitarium, Battle Creek, Michigan, USA. Dear Brother, I want to say that the third angel's message is the gospel, and that the health reform is the wedge by which the truth may enter. There are to be no abrupt declarations of any phase of our truth, but the truth as it is in Jesus is to be preached, and all the brightness and special radiance of the Son of Righteousness brought into the gospel. If those who shall speak of practical godliness to those assembled in your church building would do this, they will dwell upon the lessons of Christ. You want the Holy Spirit's guidance. Do not be satisfied without it. Let your words express your confidence and love for God. The most simple testimonies, born in a humble manner and expressing love for God, will touch hearts. They will see that the doctors and nurses and workers are all combined to represent the truth in character. God has spared your life. He has wrought that you should give honor to His name, as did Daniel in Babylon. Most determined effort will need to be made by all who believe they have the truth to create an atmosphere of purity, stability, and devotion that will magnify the truth and show its power upon the mind. The Lord has made you steadfast. He has been giving you an experience that is of value. He has given you light and aptitude and knowledge, not to add to your glory, but that you should glorify His name and exalt Him. There are earnest, prudent, warm-hearted, God-fearing, loving workers in the sanitarium, but there are many helpers who are not reliable. They are affected by the worldly element that pervades the worldly class who patronize the institution. They thirst for applause. They wish to be flattered. They want to invest their wages in dress. They may claim to be Christians, but they do no honor to Christ. These lukewarm, covetous ones, who do not consider that they are making their record for eternity, will be no help to worldly visitors. If all who claim to be Christians would be so in heart, many stumbling blocks would be removed out of the pathway of those who make these poor sinners their excuse for the neglect of the great salvation which Christ has brought to light in our world, and given His own precious life to save, that all who believe in Him shall do His works and have eternal life. We are living in most solemn times. The gospel in the Old and New Testaments is not to be contemplated from a narrow aspect as one or two men, or even as many men may view it. How large, how broad, how extensive is the gospel? I have been writing upon this subject for years, and have much written that I cannot now place in shape to be handled. I have had but a trifle of editing done for 1 year. I speak the things and write the things that burden my soul, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. I must work, I must watch, I must pray, I must consider nothing in a narrow, contracted style. Truth and error are both in the field, striving for the master. The champions of truth will have a fierce conflict. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The warning comes and the directions are repeated. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All that the Lord has told you, it devolves on you to do. No one needs to be deceived if they will make the Word of God their study. How little is the book of Revelation studied? It is a hidden mystery to the religious world. And why? Because the events not pleasant for their consideration are so faithfully traced by the prophetic pen, and people who are in any way troubled about the matter are soothed with the statement from their shepherds that the revelation cannot be understood. But it especially concerns us who are living in these last days. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Read the last chapter of Revelation carefully and prayerfully. What significance there is in the statements of this chapter. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. This is the most effectual teaching that can be given in the church built for the sanitarium, and should be given in all the churches. Whenever there is an opportunity to reach the people, the attention should be called from the earthly to the heavenly. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We are not to drift into worldly channels. Consider the cleansing of the temple at the beginning of Christ's ministry. He found the Jews intent on gain. They had made the court of the temple a scene of sacrilegious traffic, and had turned the ancient and sacred institution of the Passover into a means of vile profit. They bartered deeply, turning the service instituted by Christ himself into the worship of mammon. But Christ came suddenly into the temple courts. Divinity flashed through humanity, and raising a whip of small cords in his hand, with a voice that they will hear again in the execution of the judgment, he said, Take these things hence. It is written, My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, yet you have made it a den of thieves. The priests and rulers saw, as it were, an avenging angel, such as guarded the way to the tree of life. Today this sacrilegious work is being more than repeated. There will be messages born, and those who have rejected the messages God has sent will hear most startling declarations. The Holy Spirit will invest the announcement with a sanctity and solemnity which will appear terrible in the ears of those who will not hear the pleadings of infinite love, and who have not responded to the offers of pardon and forgiveness. Injured and insulted deity will speak, proclaiming the sins that have been hidden. As the priests and rulers, full of indignation and terror, sought refuge in flight at the cleansing of the temple, so will it be in the work for these last days. The woes that will be pronounced upon those who had light from heaven and did not heed it, they will feel, but they will have no power to act. This is represented in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. They cannot obtain a character from the wise virgins, and they have no oil of grace to discern the clear light or to accept it, that they may join the procession going into the marriage supper of the Lamb. I cannot write more. I must close. I will have some things sent by next mail. Study Revelation in connection with Daniel, for history will be repeated. We must be true and faithful amid the abounding iniquity that abounds. At no period of time are we in so much danger as when prosperity seems to crown our efforts. Self must be hidden in God. We are living amid the perils of the last days, and many of us are insensible to the perils that threaten our world. We, with all our religious advantages, ought to know far more today than we do know. Watch, therefore, said Jesus, for you know not when the time is. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The right hand is to be cut off, the right eye is to be plucked out. There is hidden depravity that needs to be carefully considered and uprooted. God help us individually to purify our souls by obeying the truth.